All right, welcome everyone. Welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show, where we interview some unstoppable entrepreneurs who are dominating figures in their businesses. And I'm Sahil Sehgal, back here again after 4 months. We are resuming our podcast show back again with an awesome, insane guest today. Now, our today's guest is the founder of Freedom Travel Systems, where his team helps entrepreneurs optimize their credit card spending to get world-class travel experiences. He has built 2 businesses over the last 8 years, visited nearly 40 countries, and has a passion for maximizing credit card points for epic luxury travel experiences. What's up, everyone? This is Sahil here, and welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show, where I'm going to be interviewing some crazy entrepreneurs out there who started from scratch with no experience, resources, and connections, and then later on became unstoppable and dominating figures in their respective businesses. We're going to dive deep into the mindset of these super successful entrepreneurs to find out how they did it and how you can model it too. It's time to pick their brains and uncover all the strategies and tactics which these entrepreneurs use to scale their businesses from nowhere to multiple 6, 7, and 8 figures. Welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show. So without any further ado, let's welcome Eli Fasenda on our show today.
Awesome. So, thanks for having me, man. Excited to be here and unpack some really powerful strategies around credit card points and how this all kind of came to be. So you've got a great show and I'm excited to dive in with you here.
Same here, man. Thank you so much for coming. I was just looking at your Instagram highlights and I got fascinated, man. You have traveled countries like crazy, Italy, Spain, Switzerland, Mexico, France, Japan, all these. And I'm like, I need a break now. That's what the feeling I got. So nice. That's great. So how did you bump into all this, man?
I mean, so basically the story started, I'll kind of paint the picture. My first moment where I really was like, wow, I want to travel the world more. So I'm actually 16 years old and I'm in the middle of a baseball game and I'm trying to focus on the game and lock in and have this, like, you know, kind of, we're in the middle of this kind of really competitive environment. And I can't really focus because there was actually a chicken that ran across the field in front of me. And I look over to be like, holy crap, that was weird. I look at my center fielder on the team I'm in. I'm playing left field. And there's a guy on a motorcycle behind him on the field. Now, I'm 16 years old and I'm playing baseball in the middle of the Dominican Republic inside of this little village. And it was just this crazy atmosphere. You know, there were kids running around like naked in the dugout of the other team and all this stuff. And I remember thinking, I grew up in the DC area. I came from a pretty, you know, upper middle class family. Like, I had a lot of cool experiences, but I've never experienced anything like this. And it opened my eyes to culture, to travel, and getting to meet these kids from, you know, this other country and through the sport that I love, which was baseball. It really opened my eyes. So that was the defining moment for me to want to get into travel. Years later, my first job out of school was to help build this international tour company that took youth sports teams on international trips, similar to what I had done when I was 16. So I got into the travel industry through that. And one thing led to another. I got obsessed with travel. I was just like so passionate about seeing these different cultures and parts of the world and getting to, you know, give those experiences to other people. And then I through that experience, learned the whole points piece too, which enabled me and our company to do more of what we were already doing and to do it in a much more epic and fun way. So that's kind of the whole background from A to Z. Started when I was 16 and, you know, now I'm 31 and 10 years into the travel industry and absolutely loving it still.
Wow, man, that's a crazy journey. And you started at quite an early stage at that time. So interesting question coming in my mind. So a lot of we entrepreneurs start because we have a big why in our place. That's why we start this. We are in pain or want to look for solutions, something. So for you, was it like more of a desire and passion rather than a big pain or why? Like what was it for you?
Yeah, it was more, it was a mix of a pain, but it wasn't necessarily like, here's a problem that I have, let me go solve it for the world. It was more like, I want to create a life that I desire. And how do I do that? And then through doing that, I started to figure out some things that could really help other people. Are you familiar with the Ikigai philosophy, the Japanese philosophy?
Yeah.
So it's more like that, honestly, because I was like, I had a lot of friends that were going to Wall Street and they were making a lot of money right out of school. And we were all finance degree at this university in New York City. And it's like, I could have gone to do the same thing. And it just was not what I was interested in. So I was missing that part of that, the Ikigai model, where it's like what you're skilled at, what you love, what the world needs, and what you can get paid for. It was missing the what you love part, which is pretty important, right? And I wasn't that good at it either. So I started to kind of like lean more into that thing. Like, what are the things that I actually love to do that I can get paid for, that people actually want and I'm good at? And it started to kind of form around this like travel philosophy. And I've just followed that kind of model each step of the way. And, you know, every time I kind of make a transition, it just seems like the next version of that opens up and it becomes a little bit more clear as I go. So it wasn't like I set out on some big quest or some big journey to be like, this is what I'm going to change in the world. It was more following that kind of inner guidance a little bit. So that's kind of how I've done it.
That makes sense. And in total, I'm curious to know how much total you have. I don't know if you have calculated it yet or not. How much total you have saved or converted so far from the points through this travel?
Oh, man. I haven't done total over my life, but it's got to be close to like $500,000, like $500,000 probably. Because I'm getting around 100K a year, and that's been for the last few years. And I've been doing this for a long time. So that's just for me. And then we have hundreds of clients that we're helping as well. So like for last year, for our clients, we saved a few million alone. It's crazy what's possible with the point stuff.
You saved a few million dollars just through points, credit card points.
Yeah.
With other businesses.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was trying to understand this business model. Is it more of like coaching or consulting that you guys do? What exactly, how is it shaped as?
Yeah, we help different levels of entrepreneurs, but in different ways. So people that are just starting out and they want help learning this stuff, they have more time than they have money. We'll teach to them. We'll guide them. We have consulting and coaching and mentorship. We have a course and all that stuff. So we have different ways we help those folks. And then we have some that are higher level business owners. They're multiple seven figures or eight figures. They're like, I don't have any time. I need help. You guys do it for me. And we have more of a concierge level service for those people as well. So it really just depends on where they're at and how we can support them the most based on, again, what needs they really have. So it works for everybody at any scale. But obviously the amount that you're spending and the amount that you're traveling and the quality of travel you want to do will just dictate how much you're going to save and what path makes sense for you.
Right. And is this like more of a country specific that you guys deal with, mostly US or other countries? How does it look like for other part of the world?
Yeah. So the way that the credit system works, and this all kind of has to do with how the banking regulations are in different countries. So in the US, merchant processing fees can be a little bit higher. So every time, you know, in the US, we go to buy something at a restaurant or wherever, you know, the merchant is getting charged generally around 2.5 to 3%. In merchant processing fees. Okay. Even for my business, when I receive payments via credit card, I'm paying that. Because that amount is higher here in the US, the banks have more incentive to give out loyalty points and rewards to win customers over because they make more money long term because they charge higher fees. In other parts of the world, they don't have as high of a merchant processing fee, which is kind of, you could say, in some sense, better for consumers because the prices may be lower or better for the business owner. But the downside is they don't get the points piece. So it really only works for Americans and Canadians, a little bit in the UK and a little bit in Australia. There are cards in other countries. They're just a lot less valuable. So like in the US, there's probably 150 good travel and points cards. In Canada, there's probably like 20. And then in like the UK and Australia, there's probably like 10 to 15. And the rest of the world, there's probably like two or three in those countries. Mm. So it's just a totally different game here in the US.
Gotcha. So in Canada, which one is best? I'm living in Canada, so I'm more interested to know about that. Which one is the best top
three? Yeah, sure. Like that. So there's Amex cards there.
Yes.
So the Amex Cobalt card is good in Canada, the Amex Gold, the Amex Platinum, and then you have the Marriott cards and then the Aeroplan cards. So if I was, you know, when we work with Canadian clients, we're generally setting up that suite. Now, depending on how much you're traveling, how much you spend on airlines and hotel stays, you'd want specific ones for your business, but in your personal life, because they also help you unlock status, right? A lot of programs allow you to earn top status, which means you get free upgrades, you get free flights, you earn more points when you travel, stuff like that, just from using the right cards. And so for you, it just depends on how much you're traveling and all that, on which order and what type of each card you'd want. Because with a lot of these cards, they're kind of like families of almost like vehicles and cars, where it's like there's the base version, the premium, and then like the luxury version. Same with credit cards. There's typically the high-end, mid-tier, and low-tier version of a card, and they come with different kind of perks and benefits. So those are the programs that exist in Canada that are pretty good. It's again still slightly different. The best play for Canadians is if you can get an ITIN and get a US address in ITIN, you can actually get US cards even if you're not a US citizen. It's a little bit of a complicated process that you have to go through, but it is possible, and long term it's worth it because of the benefits you can get here in the US.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
And in terms of like, I know it works for flights, hotels as well. Which one is your favorite? You use most of the flights traveling or staying?
Yeah, so the order in terms of like benefits, in terms of both cost savings and quality of experience, like I look at how much can I save? How much of a difference is this going to make in my overall experience? And then how complicated is it? Those are the three factors that kind of come into like using your points, because it's super complicated, but it makes a lot of difference on your travel. It's still kind of hard. So I look for first, what are the easiest ones that I can save the most on that make the most difference? So for me, there are the easiest, most consistent thing is these like luxury five-star hotel stays. Like I just got back from San Diego last night. We stayed at this beachfront five-star resort. We had ocean view suites. These were like $1,500 a night per room. And I use points for it. So normally what happens, there's three ways to book this. Okay. I can either pay cash for it. So it'd be $1,500 a night for four nights, which is like $6,000. Not going to do that. Option two is I take my points and I go to the bank's travel website. This is called the travel portal. So a lot of people are familiar with this. They'd use like Amex Travel or Capital One Travel or whatever. They give you a 1 cent per point. So $6,000 worth of hotel stays would cost me 600,000 points. Okay. Or this is really the main idea here is we convert those points from banks into airlines or hotels. So for that stay, I converted my points into Hyatt. Mm-hmm. This hotel was owned by Hyatt, so I could use my points there. And instead of using 600,000 points like I would have had to use through the bank's website, I used, it was 40,000 a night. So it was 160,000 points. Okay. So I saved, what is that? 540,000 points? No, 440,000 points on that trip, which is a lot. That's a lot of savings. So I always look for those easy five-star hotel redemptions, but the most epic in terms of like crazy experience is the awesome international first-class flights. So these would be ones where you might fly Emirates first class where there's a shower on board and a bar in the sky. You might fly Qatar Q suites where it's like these two seats next to each other turn to a giant double bed, or Singapore suites where it's like a wall comes down. You have a whole suite with a full-size bed in the air, and they serve, you know, $400 bottles of champagne, and you get a massage at the lounge before. Like those are bucket listers. So I really like those too, but they're just less frequent for me. I'm not traveling like all over the world every month right now. And they're a little bit more difficult to find the availability for. But both those are my two favorites, the luxury hotels and luxury flights. But it does apply for, you know, if there's a family of four and they want to go to Disney and it's a 3 hour drive or a quick flight and they just want like, you know, a 3-star hotel and it's more about the savings and just getting like access to more things, it totally works for that too. I just tend to do more of the luxury stuff because it's really fun and I like it, but you don't have to do that to get value.
Right. Makes sense. Did you notice like in your whole business, this journey, any weird thing, industry or place which you didn't imagine you could have used these points and then you came to know, I was like, wow, that's crazy. You can use the points or some hacks.
Yeah. Like, so there are some really cool things you can do. Well, the shower in the sky is a really unique experience. Like that's crazy. A lot of people don't even know that exists. You can actually book, there's castle hotels in like Scotland and England where you can go stay in a castle on points, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. There's the overwater villas in like places like Bora Bora or the Maldives. Those are awesome. And then there's actually one of the coolest things you can do with points is you have to have Virgin miles for this thing. It's over like 1 million or 1.25 million Virgin miles. You can go spend a week on Necker Island, which is Richard Branson's private island. And you can go down there and have this whole kind of like all-inclusive experience and get to meet him. And that's a really cool thing too with Virgin miles that you can do. That's a really unique one for sure.
Is it done for you?
Is it done for you?
Richard Branson one, you have done this, I mean?
No, I haven't done it yet. No, I mean, it's a lot of points to do that. And like, I have just other uses of them. Maybe eventually I'll do it. But I also have friends who have gone down on like invite only retreats to Necker. And eventually I would want to do something like that. Probably that would be something I'd probably pay for rather than use the points, but it's a pretty cool opportunity with the points anyways.
Yeah, that's like most bucket list ones, obviously. Yeah. A lot of people. That's good. And what's the most underrated or you can unknown travel hack that you have discovered over the last couple of years?
So one of them, I don't know if it's super underrated, but super high value for a lot of people, is getting the Southwest Companion Pass. So here's what the Southwest Companion Pass is and here's how it works. So the Southwest Companion Pass is a pass where it allows you to book one person and then you get a second person that flies free with you for the rest of the calendar year that you get it and the entire next year. So right now it's in time of this recording, it's February. If I got it today, I'd have it for all of 2024 and all of 2025. I get one person flying free. Now, Southwest has routes to the Caribbean, Central America, Hawaii, all over the US. So you got a lot of options for that. And if you live in a hub and you have a partner or a family member that you want to do this with, that's super easy to get two people basically for the price of one for 2 years. Now, the best idea is, like, let's say you're a family of four, is the mom gets it and the dad gets it. You both add the kids. And now you've got a family of four flying for the price of two for 2 years. And you can get this simply through getting two cards alone. You don't have to travel on Southwest. You don't even have to spend that much on Southwest. You could get the Southwest business card and the Southwest personal card. There's a few different cards, but there's two in particular where if you get those, you'll get 125,000 Southwest miles. And that's what's required in order to get the companion pass. So that's a huge benefit because that is just going to unlock so much free travel off the bat and allow you to just say, like, yeah, we could go here, you know, even faster if you want to. So that's one of my favorites to recommend to people. Another one that was a cool one that I did, this was a mind blower for me when I was first starting. I wasn't spending much, right? I was spending like $1,500 a month when I was just starting out in this. And I was like, okay, well, that's cool. I can do all this travel, but I don't spend enough money to get all these points. Like, what can I even do? Well, turns out there's this thing called sign-up bonuses, right? Where you get a new card, you spend X amount of dollars in the first 90 days, and you'll get this many points. And there's a lot of them. But one of them that was really cool is called the American Airlines Aviator Red card. Now, this card alone, you get the card, you pay the $95 annual fee, and then you make your first purchase. It could be for a dollar. So for me, I went to 7-Eleven, I got a Slurpee, I paid the $95, and then I got 60,000 sign-up points, which was enough for me to go round trip to Europe. Or you could go one way in business class. So at that point, I was like, you're telling me I just bought a Slurpee and I got a free trip to Europe? I'm like, what? I was like, this is crazy. So that was another really cool one.
Wow. And how much was the total cost of that trip? Like, imagine 60,000 points was equal to how much? I'm just curious.
Around like $1,500.
Wow. Okay. That's crazy. Yeah.
That's pretty cool, right? For buying a Slurpee. Like, I'm like, I'll take that all day.
Of course, why not? That's good. And in terms of that, like, when we are doing this booking and all, you think like planning before is good or last minute deals sometimes picking that? And is it different for when you're booking through cash or booking through points?
Yeah, great question. There are some differences between cash and points for last minute deals and also how you want to book. So with points, it's oftentimes better to book one-way tickets than it is where cash, you're almost always going to want to book round trip. So that's one difference. The best time to book any flight, cash or points, is going to be the furthest out possible. So airlines release their flight routes about 11 months out. So that's like 335 days out. You could look at the calendar and see flights available. If you can book that far in advance, which is kind of rare, unless it's a big trip that you're planning for, that's going to be your best option for either points or cash. Now, as time goes by, the number of seats available on points will go down because more seats get booked. So an airline, right, let's say it has 200 seats on the aircraft. Mm-hmm. Maybe 200 of them can be booked in cash because that's what the airline wants. Mm-hmm. Okay. About 75 of them can be booked on points with that airline. So if it's a United flight, like United miles, and then maybe 25 could be booked with what we call partner miles. So that's where United is part of the Star Alliance. And I could use Air Canada Aeroplan miles to book a United flight. Okay. So that would be an example where there's a certain bucket within that United aircraft that could book with those. So as time goes down, that bucket of seats available to partners diminishes because more people book their seats. So you may not find as much availability, but what happens is last minute, around, you know, 2 weeks in, you're going to find that a lot of the airlines are like, okay, well, we haven't sold this seat yet. You know, the chances of us getting like a last minute booking, maybe not as high. So we'll open it back up for points and you'll see these seats reopen. Okay. Mm-hmm. So sometimes if you can wait last minute, that's better. So what we always recommend is book a flight, get a plan B flight in place, particularly if you want to do something that's like a big international luxury trip, get your plan B in place. So like, let's say you're going to Dubai, book Emirates business class or United business class or whatever, get that as a backup plan. And then we'll monitor and see within like a week to 2 weeks, if Emirates opens up their first class cabin, which they oftentimes do within the last few days, and book that like right before you go. So that's how you'd want to think about it with the difference between points and cash and how you want to book.
Gotcha. And then I was seeing That's interesting to know, actually. Good to know. So a lot of people talk about, like, you go to the cash counter at the last minute, you can ask for if there is any availability for business class and all. Does that trick still works, or is it old school?
With points, it's different. It depends on the airline. Like Emirates, you can do last minute points upgrades, like at the check-in desk, and it can work really well, actually, specifically with Emirates, but not every airline's like that. And so it really depends. And then also depends on what ticket fare you booked and how you booked it. So there's a lot of nuances to that. Like, yeah, it just really depends. So I can't say like yes or no in any, just as a blanket rule, but it's totally varying. Yeah, it can still work for sure. It's just not every time that's going to be like a go-to strategy.
Gotcha. That's good. And what's the most common mistake that you see people make while maybe traveling or using their points or misusing their points?
Oh yeah. Huge mistake. So many people do this and it hurts when they hear it. Mm-hmm. If you're using your points for cash back, you're using your points for gift cards, or you're using your points for Amazon purchases or statement credits, you're completely blowing the value of these points. You're getting about 1/2 to 1/10 of what they could be worth. So let me give you an example. If you had 500,000 points and you redeem them for Amazon gift cards, which a lot of people end up doing, they're going to get around $2,500 worth of Amazon. If they use those 500,000 points for travel, they could have gotten a family of four round trip to Europe in business class, which could be worth like $15,000 to $20,000.
10 right? times. So,
say it again.
That is 10 times.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what's possible if you use them right versus wrong. And it's just because the way that the banks and the merchants like allow you to redeem the points and the values they give you, and then how the airlines price things. There's big discrepancies through these, you know, in foreign exchange trading, they'd call it like arbitrage, right? You're like, so that's kind of the idea there. It's the same thing with points. The way that Amex prices is different than the way the airline prices. And that's different than what your points are worth on Amazon. So you want to find the highest value usage of those points. And that's always going to be the best way to go.
Beautiful. That's a great one. Great advice.
Yeah.
Cool, man. That's great. Where can listeners more find about you, about your anything they want to learn more about this travel hacking? Yeah. What's the best place?
Yeah, Instagram is the best place. So it's just at Eli Travel Guy on Instagram. You can also check out our website, freedomtravelsystems.com. We have a mini course that if you DM me the word mini, M-I-N-I on Instagram, we'll give it to you for free. It's normally $50. So you can go ahead and DM that and just say you came from Sahil's show and we'll hook you up. But that is the best place. And I share a lot of behind the scenes, kind of here's how we do things and explaining it all in my stories, and then post like kind of reels and things like that, that are also going to add some value and give you some new tips and strategies and all that stuff. So that's the best place to find me.
That's cool. I'm going to be the first one who's going to pick it up. I think it's $49.99 that I saw in your website.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Cool, man. Good to know. Cool. I know you're limited on time, man, but thank you so much for coming on and sharing all these golden pieces of advice that you did.
Yeah, thanks so much, Sahil. I appreciate it. And great job with the show. Excited to see your journey continue as well.
Same here. Thank you so much, man. For people who are listening, so here you got from the man himself, all the travel hacks and all. We'll be coming up with another episode very soon. Till then, stay tuned. Take care. Bye, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And if you have enjoyed this episode, make sure to visit dreamclientsecrets.com to get more information about how you can grow and scale your online business. And if you love this show, don't forget to leave me a 5-star review, and I will see you in the next episode.